All right, Monday, May 22nd, 2017, Joe Crummy's Evil Thoughts.
Welcome, a very warm welcome to Israel.
That's right, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu welcoming evil Trump to Israel today. Trump, of course, on the second leg of his international tour. He's really getting the religious hat trick thing done, too. This guy likes to play three-dimensional international policy, right? Because he's getting the Muslim thing together, and we'll have more on that on the show, because we were making, I think, some really good points in yesterday's podcast about how the media completely missed the whole Saudi Arabia drama thing. That's really cool, because they're more interested in people fighting about whether the president curtsied in front of King Salam or whatever. Anyway, so that was yesterday, but we'll get to that again today because it's important, okay? All right. And the thing with Israel today is the second thing where he could tie the Christians and the Jews to the Muslims. And then the religious hat trick, of course, is seeing the Pope when the president heads north and gets into the European I guess he's going to go to Rome. So, you know, he's working it. All right. So that's what the president's doing. The media really hates it, of course, because they really want to talk about Donald Trump being impeached and all that. So I could play the audio again. I mean, this is a little bit more of the Prime Minister of Israel.
President Trump.
Yep.
Madam First Lady.
I like what he does here. This is what I like what Netanyahu does here. This is why I'm playing it. You didn't hear it on the first one, so here it is.
Donald.
You got that part.
Melania. Welcome.
Right, we just heard the rest of that, but I mean, isn't that cool? Donald, you know, I mean, he'll get plenty of Mr. Presidents, right? But how often do you hear that? And it's such a simple little thing that it would go by everybody. And it went by me until just a couple of seconds ago when I realized, wow. Because I'd heard it, I kind of made a little thing in my brain like, oh, yeah, he did that. Sounds awfully chummy. You know, I don't want to read too much into it, but I do think it's interesting that Trump, oh, by the way, before the Pope, I gave you the wrong information. Before the evil Trump sees the Pope, excuse me, I got this wrong. You know what he's doing tomorrow? He is meeting with the president guy from Palestinians, Mahmoud Abbas. So he's going from the evil Muslims, right, to the, you know, to the Jews, you know, and then he goes on to those guys, and then the next day over to the evil Palestinians, and tying it, you know, a thread, a weave. He's seeing everybody. He's like taking meetings. That's what I think. I mean, if he could strip away all the hocus pocus, I mean, the audio I played you at the beginning of the whole thing, you know, all of this.
President Trump.
That's all at the airport. I mean, Trump can't even get off the freaking Air Force One without having a ceremony with bands and all kinds of stuff and a red carpet. You know, it must be weird getting the red carpet, you know, everywhere. Because they were talking about the Saudi red carpet. You know, they rolled it out yesterday, too. Oy. You know, here's the audio I want to play from Trump yesterday that the media really missed. Because I think this shows you what Trump is doing, and I want to talk about it. Because I think it's an important subject for us to talk about today. So here is Trump just yesterday. This is also from yesterday's podcast, an abbreviated version of it. But here's Trump with the Saudis and his big speech. And he's talking about making a choice. You know, your future is ahead of you and you have a choice. What I thought was interesting is nobody said, well, what are the two choices? I mean, one of them's obvious, but the other one is a little deeper. And I want to make a point about it. So here is President Trump with the Saudis yesterday.
It's a choice between two futures. And it is a choice America cannot make for you.
See, I like that. A choice between two futures. You know, think for a second. What do you think he means by those two futures? You know, what might that be?
A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists.
All right, so he's saying, this maybe is what we imply from this. He's saying the future is either going to be a really good future or not such a great future. Right, it's your choice, right? It's much more specific than that. By the way, that's what I want. I want to do some, what do we call it? Some inspection here. Right? So he's setting up the thing. You have a choice: one that's really good and one that's really not. So he's still vague about it, and I'm saying it's a very specific thing. that the media didn't bother talking about because it doesn't fit their agenda, whatever. Anyway, so it's this choice. And Trump says, you know, it's going to be your choice to make, right?
And drive out the extremists.
Right. So he's saying, I want you to, but I want you to do something for me. I want, you know, you have a choice between a really good future and a really not so great future, but I need something from you. Drive out the bad guys. Now, here's the part of the tape I like the best because he starts to sound like Ronald Reagan.
Drive them out.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I mean, isn't it reminiscent of that? Listen to this.
Drive them out of your places of worship. Drive them out of your communities.
Yeah, baby.
Drive them out of your holy land. And drive them out of this earth.
Oh, I mean, he does sound a little tired. But what's interesting there, let's go back now to the notion of what are the choices. I went into a lot of detail on this yesterday. We'll try to keep it kind of quick today and keep moving. What the issue is with Saudi Arabia is they're out of money. For the last 50 years, they've been flush with petrodollars because the price of oil's been through the roof. And with the collapse of oil prices over the last year or so, where it used to be $100 a gallon that the Saudis would get, or a barrel, really, I guess $100 a barrel oil, I get $100, all of a sudden now the price is $50. And it's not likely to go anywhere anytime soon back to $100. Right? A lot of changes in the energy markets in the last few years. The United States, actually, oddly enough, doing very well. All right. Natural gas is being just part of it. You know, for some reason, we just figured something out about getting natural gas out. You know, it's just like everywhere now. But anyway, so Trump is saying that, here's the thing. Trump isn't saying it. He knows that Saudis are under pressure because what they've done over the last 40 years is they have their own private country. That's why they call it Saudi Arabia. We're talking about this yesterday, too. The family's name is Saudi. You know, Joe's Arabia. That's what this is about. It's named after them. And they've got incredible growth over the last 50 years or so. Riyadh, the city that was only 350,000 people in 1965, is now a city, a monopolis, you know, whatever. You call it whatever you want, over 6 million people. Most of the people that work in Saudi work for the Saudi government. They have so much money that everybody has free health care. What you don't have in Saudi, okay, is a political speech situation. You don't get to say zip, all right, because it's their country, not yours. Shut up and get to work, and here's your free health care, all right? The other thing about Saudi that's interesting is that 70% of the people in Saudi are under 30 years of age. A lot of young people. A lot of troublemakers. That's what they are. And the other fact that I want to give you, 93% of the people in Saudi have access to the internet, which is a higher per capita rate than us, which ain't right, but that's what I read. So you're going to have all these people. Social services are going to start to crack. And the Saudis know this in advance. It's not like it's going to happen tomorrow, but I mean, they see the writing on the wall. They don't have the money. They want to keep control of the country, and they know. And so they're thinking about diversifying their economy. They have to. All right. We could talk about all the money they spent on war material from the United States, $110 billion. That's a lot. You could talk all about that if you want to. That's fine. But I'm more interested in, say, the $55 billion business deal brokered between U.S. companies, probably through Trump's people and Jared Kushner and all that kind of stuff. You know, the big talks kind of set up so more American cash can flow in to Saudi. And as I mentioned yesterday again, if the president could get his frickin' tax plan through, that would make repatriation of those dollars even easier back to the United States. So it's all great, but nobody really explains it to you like that, so you don't know. You know, you're worried about who wore a headscarf. I mean, I get that. All right? But Trump knows all this, and when he's so the point of all of this is that when Trump says, hey, you got two futures, what Trump is saying, and he knows it, and they know it too, and it's all good because Trump's being a nice guy about it, but he's saying, I know you have a ticking time bomb. That's great. So you know what? I'll help you broaden your economy, diversify what you guys do, because oil isn't going to be the big thing. It has been, and you guys, frankly, are kind of upside down. I get it. I used to own a bunch of properties on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. I know it happens when the money dries up, right? So Trump kind of gets all of that stuff. Right? He says, but I need something from you. Trump has, actually, it's a twofer for the United States because Trump says, okay, I want you to work on this thing about terrorism, Muslim Brotherhood money coming into the United States. My people need to talk to you about that. There's a little bit too much of that stuff coming on. You're a little too fast and loose all about it. We need to do the tighten up where that kind of stuff is concerned. I need your help here and here and here. And in return, okay, I'm gonna also get another win on top of that, because my companies are gonna come and make a lot of money in your country. But on top of that, I'll help you. So you get something out of it, because I'm gonna help you. The world's largest economy is gonna help you. All right, because you need the help. And I need two things from you. All right. Or what is it? No, I get two. You get one. But I mean, you get something. You get me helping you, and your country does not blow up in your face. However, you know, my country is coming in. We're going to make some money. Get out of my way. It's all good. Thank you very much. And by the way, on that terrorism thing, fix it. Okay, that's what Trump is doing, and I think it's really cool. All right, let's move on to some other issues here. A big story could be brewing, but it could be total bullshit. And what's funny to me is the media doesn't want any part of it because they say it's just innuendo and bullshit, but they don't have any trouble taking months and months and months on Trump and Russia. Aren't they funny? I'm talking about the story of a former DNC staffer. In other words, this guy who worked for the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C., his name is Seth Rich. And you don't hear too much about the story of the mainstream media because they don't like it. The story supposedly is, if you are to believe it, and as I say, we're sort of at a put up or shut up junction on the story right now in the next 24 hours, so I'm going to keep you up to date on that. But the story is there was this guy, Seth Rich, who was murdered in Washington, D.C., and he was a Democratic Party staffer guy. The story is he was disgusted with the corrupt Democratic Party, that he somehow leaked 55,000 emails and other attachments from inside the DNC, and that is actually what the hack is, and that it's not the Russians. The Russians didn't hack John Podesta's email. No, what's-his-face gave it to him because he was a disgruntled DNC guy and he hated it, and this discredits the whole Russia thing with the DNC, and it destroys the DNC because it's all their corruption. And this is a murder. And the mainstream media says, well, you don't really have you have a lot of innuendo, a lot of unnamed sources, and, you know, we need facts. And it just cracks me up because I'm thinking, well, you know, really, you need facts, huh? That's fascinating. And the put up or shut up moment in this Seth Rich case is supposedly coming into head tomorrow when this guy, who goes by the screen name as Kim.com, he is a internet entrepreneur. He made a pant load of money. He developed, I believe it was mega upload, whatever that is, file sharing. He ran it as a business out of Hong Kong from 2005 to 2010. He made a pant load of money. The guy's totally rich. He's also a hacker, too. I think he lives in New Zealand, and he has a house that would blow away anybody in Beverly Hills. This is this guy. He says he has information that this guy, Seth Rich, was killed, and the DNC was a hit job, and it was corruption and this and that. And he says he's speaking with his attorneys today, because these things, he said, must be done properly. And he said he's going to reveal information tomorrow. So that's why I'm indicating to you that it's kind of a put up or shut up in this case. And if not tomorrow, we'll probably be jawing about that too. Like, what happened? Or where are we halfway? Is it all BS? But we're supposed to know something in the next 24 hours. Could be juicy, though. I mean, it could be, you know, Armageddon. That'd be really funny. I doubt it, but it could be, you know, it could bring down the whole Democratic Party and it would trash all this Russian stuff. It'd be really funny. I mean, what's more, you know, as I heard somebody say, what's more likely? That the president of the United States is compromised and under the influence of a foreign power, or a political hit, I don't know, on the street of Washington, D.C., made to look sort of like it was supposed to be a robbery, but they didn't take anything. But then again, I would push back and go, well, you know, if you were going to kill this guy on the street, wouldn't you make it seem as though it were a robbery and just take everything? You know, so, I mean, I kind of see both sides of this. that's why it's fun to do this. Hey, today's shout out to Claudia A. Kanonica from Brooklyn, New York. Claudia, thank you for spreading Joe's evil thoughts. We appreciate that. I also see you like Joe Girardi, which is cool. Did you see him over the weekend? He got kicked out of a game. He pulled an old school Billy Martin in protest. He got downed by home plate, took his hands and he cupped the dirt around home plate and then packed it on top of the plate like that. It was really funny. Kind of intense. All right. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter as Joe Crummy. On Instagram as Crummy Joe. Those are my evil thoughts. For Monday, we'll do another one tomorrow. All right. Turn it off.